So I think they went today, that's what it's, because yesterday
they had flights. Okay, okay. Both of them? Huh?
Yeah, I don't know about Jovita. I don't know.
Oh, Jovita, Archana also is flying?
Archana will be flying, but I think Jovita is leading one session today, and Berlin is leading one session tomorrow, something like that, or vice versa.
Okay, okay. Chalo. Let us humbly cross the Lord, deliver us from all that is evil. In the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. On this auspicious day, Lord, another Friday in our lives, we thank you, Lord, for keeping us alive in your holy presence. Especially as we hear of our brother from here, Lord, who has come back to you, Lord, this evening or this morning, Lord. But your mercy, Lord God, has kept us alive to spend another beautiful day with you, Lord, remembering you, praising you, blessing you, Lord, and learning from you, Lord God, as much as we can learn about your goodness, your love, and your nature, Lord. We thank you for bringing us together, Lord God, in this on this Friday afternoon, a time when we could sleep, Lord God, but you have blessed us with your grace, O Lord God, to come to spend this time together, Lord. We also thank you, Lord, and we remember all those brothers and sisters of ours who are yet on leave, O Lord God, our regulars, and who could not make it today, Lord. And especially Sister Philomena, who is not keeping too well, O Lord, and she is not here tonight, this afternoon, Lord. We keep them in your prayers, in our prayers, Lord. We sprinkle our most precious blood, sweet Jesus, upon this entire place, Lord, because we need no disturbance from you, Lord, as your Spirit moves in us, Lord.
Yes, Lord.
And there is power only in your blood, Lord.
Amen.
Lord, let our minds be open to what you're going to teach us, Lord God, with the power of your blood, Lord. Let there be no disturbances of any sort coming into us, Lord. And sweet Holy Spirit, this is your time, your place, and your group, Lord. Only you can teach us your story, Lord. Especially the end times, O God, which you have revealed to your children out of mercy, Lord, so that we may be alert, we may be watchful, we may be awake, and we may understand that whatever happens is happens in accordance to your word that you have already revealed to us, Lord God.
Amen.
And Lord, only you can open our eyes, spiritualize our ears, to make us understand, to make this word alive for us, Lord God. So that, Lord, there are many, Lord God, whom even in your word you said, seeing they cannot see, hearing they cannot hear. But Lord, you have opened our eyes, or you are going to open our eyes and ears to hear you in a more intimate way, so that this Bible, which seems normal to many, will be special to us, Lord. Because every word, O Lord, is alive and active, and Lord, and brings wonders into our lives.
Amen.
Mother Mary, continue to be with us as we, like your disciples in your time, depend on you, depend upon your presence here, because you are the mother who keeps your children united with your love, with your mercy, with your prayer, and in your mantle of blue. In Jesus' name we pray.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen. In the name of the Father, Son, the Holy Spirit. Amen. Good afternoon, dear brothers and sisters. I believe you have all enjoyed your holidays, these holidays well, and we are on the final day of our holidays. There was a homework given last time. How many of you remember?
Holidays.
We forgot about the homework because holidays are there, right? There are so many things to do. Okay, even if you have forgotten, doesn't matter, but what was the homework? Can you repeat it, Uncle? Well, as we were going through the church in Thyatira last week, we encountered a spirit. What spirit was that?
Jezebel.
Jezebel spirit. And our homework was to see
Jezebel spirit in us.
How many you found in here? I found three. I honestly found three, and the Lord is working in me. I didn't know there were three in me, first of all. But when I said, Lord, I have to be faithful, no? Before I expect others to be faithful. He said, reveal to me the Jezebel spirits in me. And surprisingly, he did. But I'm fighting. I'm cooperating with the Lord to get the spirits out. The moment you know that you have a spirit of, because there is no harm in having a spirit, because we are all prone
yes.
to the first sin of
Adam
and Eve, the original sin. So we are prone to sin, and we will always be prone to sin. But the difference between a normal Christian, a non-Christian, and a devotee of God is that a devotee of God, a disciple of God, will always strive to be like Jesus. That's what God wants us. He wants us to be like His Son. Every saint was a great sinner. But every saint tried their best. Yeah, tried their best, succeeded by the grace of God, and now they have become saints. How many of us want to be saints?
All of us.
Saint Paul, Paul always says, we are saints. He addresses us as saints. Yeah, he addresses us as saints. So, we do not want to be saints, but we are already saints who are moving to that sainthood of us. Right? So one day they will say, "Are Saint Marcus Saik, 19, you know, 19, whatever, it is, whatever span of life is there, or you know, whatever." Like, you know, I saw Marcus directly, as I said him, but we are all saints, okay?
Yeah.
Ne
yeah,
of course, so sakte. Jezebel spirit, if you have too much caught up in the Eid Mubarak holidays, but try this week, okay?
That was Jezebel spirit, too caught up with things.
Exactly. Oh yeah, that's right.
And in continuation, brother, I have told my husband to see what Jezebel spirit I have. So he's the best person to tell because he lives with me, stays with me and watches me. So he's the one who can point out what are the weaknesses I have. So that I can be a better person.
So that is the privilege of all the people who have families here. Huh? But bachelors, don't look out for families now. Just to get a bachelor spirit, to get a Jezebel spirit out, okay? That's no excuse. Okay, and today we go to chapter 3, the message to Sardis. Come, Ruth.
And to the angel of the church in Sardis write, these are the words of him who has the seven spirits of God and the seven stars. I know your works, you have a name of being alive, but you are dead. Wake up and strengthen what remains and is on the point of death, for I have not found your works perfect in the sight of my God. Remember then what you received and heard. Obey it and repent. If you do not wake up, I will come like a thief, and you will not know at what hour I will come to you. Yet you have still a few persons in Sardis who have not soiled their clothes. They will walk with me dressed in white, for they are worthy. If you conquer, you will be clothed like them in the white robes, and I will not blot your name out of the book of life. I will confess your name before my Father and before his angels. Let anyone who has an ear listen to what the Spirit is saying to the churches.
Amen. Okay. So you concentrate on that, because in between I'll ask you to read it again. Okay. Now, Sardis. Okay. Sardis has a reputation of being a very excellent church right from the beginning. And also for being one of the worst churches, at the same token. Yeah. So it has the Sardis, is actually meaning the light. Yeah. But they have been so prosperous that their prosperity led them to their downfall. Okay. Now, 700 years before this letter was written, Sardis was one of the greatest cities. Its geographical condition is like it was ruled by the king of Lydia, okay, and his name was there was a king of Lydia who ruled this thing, and Sardis, I'll tell you the name later on. Sardis stood over the valley of river Hermas. It was the river Hermas. Sardis stood on that, and to the north of that Sardis was Mount, or to the north of the river was Mount Tumulus. Okay, and on that Mount Tumulus there was a mount, and from the Mount Tumulus came all these small mountains like with plateaus on the top, and And Sardis was situated right on top of one of those plateaus, on one of those ridges. So right from far, it was looking like a light tower in front of the valley. Very prominent place and very protective place. Nobody could go there easily. So it was all the people there were so strong and formidable. And this king, who brought Sardis up, was so powerful that and so powerful and stupid, because he was powerful because he brought the entire country, the Sardis, up, and he was stupid because he thought that it was unbeatable. Because he went in, it was truly unbeatable, but you'll see now why he created that folly. The king's name was Croesus, Croesus. In one of the proverbs, also it mentions this name. If you read it, I was trying to find it, but I couldn't find it. Croesus, as rich as Croesus. You know, in one of the Proverbs also, the Bible uses his name, as rich as Croesus. So, he was the king who actually brought Sardis up. Okay, and now this Sardis was so rich because legend says that there is a river which is called Pactolus. River Pactolus passes through there. And this river, from this river, they found gold. You know, the gold was extracted from this river. That is why, that was one of the main reasons why Sardis is so rich. And it is mentioned that in this area, this countryside, Sardis was the first one to have minted coins, gold coins. They were the first to have this minted gold coins of gold. And then, one day, Why was this guy stupid? I'll tell you why now. Now, he was wise. He has done all the developments. Now he wanted to attack somebody. Okay, so he started attack. He went to attack the king of Cyrus of Persia. You know, he was the king of Persia. Now, to attack Cyrus of Persia, he had to cross the river Halys. Now he was wondering, what should I do? Should I attack? Should I not? Should I attack? So, you know, they had these fortune tellers. They were called... there was a fortune teller in Delphi, okay, who was very famous. And he went to him. He went to that oracle. It's called Oracle of Delphi. And he asked them. And what that oracle said, whoever it was, the man, male or female, I don't know, he or she told him, if you cross the river Halys, you will destroy a great empire. That is what was the prophecy given to this king. To this king. Now, what Croesus taught, this king taught, that wow, if I cross this river, I am going to kill I am going to defeat Cyrus of Persia, and I will be destroying a great power. But he did not realize that the prophecy was actually for him. If he crosses the river and he attacks Cyrus of Persia, Cyrus of Persia is going to defeat him, and this great power will be lost. So you saw he was just a one-track mind. He did not look into. Although he got a revelation. He was told, but he did not listen to that, or he did not ponder over it. Then what happens? Okay, then he crosses the Halys River, and he attacks Cyrus of Persia. Cyrus of Persia defeated him immediately. Immediately he defeated him, and this guy runs back and runs to his citadel on top, knowing that he is safe there. And then what he thinks, he says, okay, fine, I've lost, now I'm going back, I will go there, sit there for some time, recuperate, and then come back and fight him again. His notion was that, fine. So he runs on the top there, so hides himself there, okay. And he knows that nobody can touch him there. Now Cyrus has won the war, okay. Now Cyrus is saying, I will teach him a lesson. Because he came and disturbed me. Now I'm going to teach him. I'm not going to leave him. In 14 days, he gave them. In 14 days, he told his troops, if anyone can attack them, you know, I'll give you a big award. He told his troops. Now one of the troop men, his name is here, okay. He one day he saw that one of the soldiers from this people's gang was on top, no, and his helmet fell down. His head gear fell down. And he saw that he slowly climbed on some, like, you know, there were cracks on that mountain. He climbed down, picked up his helmet and went up. He remembered about that, because people say that you cannot climb on that thing. And you, in fact, you cannot. It's very steep, very high. So they are, you know, very well protected. But now this guy, this soldier, remembered that incident. And he told his king, he told Cyrus, this one something happened. And Cyrus said, okay, chalo. You know, so he formed a group, and then they went and exactly the spot this guy remembered. They went exactly to the spot and they climbed. They found that precipice, not small distance, and they climbed that mountain or that precipice up through the hill, and they found everybody sleeping. They're supposed to be on guard there. They found everybody sleeping and they attacked this king. So they were captured. They were captured, and then what Cyrus did. Cyrus did not allow them to try to be warriors again. All the people of Sardis, he made them ordinary citizens. He told them to wear this dishdasha and some special boots. No arms were given to them. Okay, so no army, no warrior at all. And he made them study. Made them study some different languages, study music, and made them that. So from a formidable group of people, Sardians, he made them completely useless. Completely useless. Okay. And that is why, and that was the first time they were defeated. Then okay, things were going, then once upon, after some time Cyrus was defeated, and another Greek king came in. Who was the Greek king? The famous guy. Okay. Alexander the Great came in. Okay, he defeated them. He defeated Cyrus, and they took over. So the Greek culture came into them, and so on and so forth. The thing went on, and Sardians, being in Sardis, they lost their hold onto the of their own, and they were governed by these other foreign nations. And after something like in 75 BC or something like that, there was a major earthquake, you know, and Sardis was completely destroyed. And after that, the Romans took over them. Yeah, during the time when the Romans took over them, they had this earthquake, and Sardis was completely destroyed. And the king of Rome at that time, he liked Sardis so much, so he gave them a grant, a big grant, to redevelop their country. So they continued to remain rich, but they lost their grip. They lost their district. That is why, you know, it is a prosperous country, but a very beggary country as well, in the same token. All right? Now, and that is why, see, what did Jesus, how did Jesus begin with them? What did he say? Ruth? What does Jesus say?
I know your works. You have a name of being alive, but you are dead.
I know your works. You have the name of being alive, but you are dead. And also he says, no, he is who he describes himself as. He is the God of, who has the seven spirits of God. What does he say? Starting?
Remember
these
that
are the words of him who holds the seven spirits of God.
Yes.
And the seven stars.
Exactly. So he is the God. Now Jesus describes himself as the God who has seven spirits. And we have already learned the same thing he has used in another church, right? Seven spirits is the Holy Spirit in with the seven gifts. And the Holy Spirit who is in charge of all the seven churches. No? So Jesus is saying these are all my churches, you know, right? And who holds the seven stars. That means all the seven churches are in Jesus' hand. So nobody and no church can say that I am, this is my church. This is the same. We are all the churches of Jesus is our owner and the main founder. Now with the Sardis, with the city of Sardis falling asleep, right, and being in so bad shape, in spite of their wealth, they were beggary. So this also affected the church in Sardis. Yeah, they also had the same problem. Now you see, if you have noticed in other churches, what Jesus tells them, first he commends them. You are good in this, you are good in this, you are good in this, and but you have one fault. You see, the first four churches, they were commended churches, but Jesus saw their good works, informed them, and then told them that what is your bad thing. But Sardis doesn't have any commendation, right? So read it again.
I know your works. Remember then what you have received and heard. Obey it and repent if you do not wake up.
Before that.
I know your works. I know your works, and you have a name of being alive, but you are dead.
I know your works. You have a name of being alive, but yet you are dead. Okay, you are just a name. Now see, who can see a church through and through? Now they were like everything else. They had lots of money. They have lots of this thing. They were quite vibrant. I'm sure they must be having their services with great pomp and this thing. But Jesus is telling them, you are dead. You are dead. They can fool the people. They can do everything, rituals. But you are dead. How can a church be dead? A church who is doing everything right, who is doing their services, they have got their things, they have got riches, they have got everything. But Jesus says, you are dead. Can you think about it? What could be the element that makes this church dead?
Show off, no charity.
Yeah, they're doing that. They're showing off. They're even charitable. They have done charity. They are doing a lot of things. But still Jesus calls them dead.
Maybe away from God.
Yes. They don't have the Holy Spirit in them. If you do anything without the power of the Holy Spirit, it's dead. I mean, you can have a great conference, you can get great prayer meetings, you can have a humorous crowd of people. But if you do not have the Holy Spirit in you, or in the congregation, you're dead. Especially with the leaders of the churches. They have to be, I mean, it starts with everybody. Everybody should have. Now, when this letter is meant for the churches, right? It is first meant for the churches. It is meant for the prayer groups of today. It is meant for individuals. Yeah? Who constitutes a church? It's individuals, right? So if an individual is dead, the church is dead.
Yes.
Yeah? I may be having a great show off. I may be talking great things, great work. But if my relationship with the Holy Spirit is not there, it is dead talk. It is dead work. It has got no power. I remember reading somewhere that there was this preacher who was very powerful, okay, and he had a big congregation. And one day he was having his service, and the people were all exuberant, listening to him and looking at him intently, listening to him, and because he was a powerful speaker. And in the first bench, there were two ladies, old ladies, who were dozing. Okay, now this preacher is preaching, but his mind is going to the ladies who are dozing, and that is infuriating him, okay? But there's nothing he can do about it. So he finishes his service, and then he, after everybody is going and listening, he goes to these two ladies and says, I have preached such wonderful teaching. People were all packed and engrossed in my teaching, and you two are sleeping. He said, can you tell me the reason? They told him straight, point blankly, you don't have the Holy Spirit. You don't have the Holy Spirit. So he must have been a great orator. He must have, gone for Toastmasters or something like that, speaking well, but no power in them at all. Sometimes you see a person can even stammer, but a message comes into your heart.
Amen.
The message comes into your heart. That is the Spirit working. It's not the person who's talking. It's not the disciple, but the Spirit. You can talk with your broken language. You can talk with half syllables out, half syllables in, but it is the Holy Spirit who puts that thing in your heart. And that was missing in the church of Sardis. That was missing. Now, question to ponder. Are we also in the same boat as Sardis today? A lot of possibilities are there. Sometimes in me, myself, I can see a Sardis and I can see Pergamum or something like that. At one time. Sometimes I'm so hot for the Lord, and sometimes I'm so cold for the Lord. But this is a very dangerous attribute, because God says either you be cold or be hot. Because if you are lukewarm, I will spew you out. It's Jesus' word. Sometimes this thing frightens me a lot, you know. But having known that, I've tried to be hot for the Lord, you know. But this is all a process that we got to understand. Take an example. Now, this king thought he had everything. He was safe up there. And see what happened. Twice he was defeated. In the same way. He thought he was safe. Now, like, you know, we are not pointing fingers, dear brothers and sisters, but we are trying to examine our conscience. This Bible study will hold good only when we examine our conscience and we understand what are we today. Otherwise, you know, it comes later on. I will come like a thief. God, Jesus says, I will come like a thief. So these studies prepare us to understand what is the way God wants us. What is the God's teaching to us? Are we sleepy or are we not? And it is not bad. It is very good. It's, I would call it simplicity if we accept what we truly are. There's no need in just saying, oh, I'm great, I'm doing so much. No, are you true to the Lord? This is that what to say. I may be preaching daily, I may be hearing daily masses, I may be saying, but what is my character? And only God, only Jesus can tell us that. Because He's the eye, like in last time He said, no, I'm the my eyes are like burning fire. He can penetrate through us. I can put up a lot of masks before you and say, like, no, I'm so disciplined. But we cannot cheat Him. He will throw that mask. His flaming eyes will burn whatever masks we have. We have to be transparent. And the more transparent we are in front of the Lord, the better we are, because His mercy will come upon us. We cannot do anything on our own strength. Only thing is that we should accept who we are. We are weak. Yes, we are weak, Lord. But don't pretend that we are not. We are strong. This is what happens when you pretend. He pretended that, you know, he took things for granted. Are we taking things for granted? What is next? Continuing that.
Remember then what you received and heard. Obey it. And
wait. Now see, for a church to fall, for anything to fall down, they were on the prime. They were really doing good. Okay? From the prime stage, they fell down. Now for us, for everybody also, even spiritual life, there is a day, remember. He said, remember. You see, what is the meaning of remember? Remember the day that you met the Lord. We are all Catholics, right? So we are fortunate enough to be born in Catholic family. But I met the Lord in 1998. I truly met the Lord in 1998 when I lost my job. Okay? I lost my job. That's the time that the Lord... I was a Sunday-going Catholic. I mean, my family used to be here. They used to attend the prayer meeting, but I used to not attend the prayer meeting because I was at work 24/7. Thinking that, you know, my family's conversion will help me. Didn't work that way. I lost my job. 3 months I was in limbo, you know, with all the things happening left, right and center. I was under depression. You know, I didn't know what I was doing. I was drinking alcohol and over drinking because of the fact that I thought that could put me to sleep, but nothing put me to sleep. Within 1 hour I was awake, and then I should come walking all the way from Lansup to the grotto here to speak to Mother Mary there. You know, all these things happened. All these things happened. So, and that's the time I met the Lord in 1998, okay, because of this thing. And from that day onwards till today, there's no sort of turning back. But I will not say that my fervor for the Lord is greater than what I first met Him. No, it has diminished. It has diminished. This is a great danger part of it. So that's why Jesus is telling you, remember, when you first, it happens, I think, to everybody, right? Especially when you just fall in love. Yeah, what, like, you know, for people who have got, the blessing to fall in love before getting married, think of that day. And what was those days? You know, you're always waiting for the time is not passing, only I've given her a date at so-and-so time, you know, but I'm looking at it, it's just 1 minute gone, 2 minutes gone, 3 minutes, that fervor was there. Today you're married and you're saying, like, no, chalo, yeah, you know, accepted wife. But look, think of those days. If you want to keep a marriage alive, think of those days. Like somebody who nicely said, make your day, every day, a date. A date with your wife. To keep your marriage alive, make every day a date with your wife, and you will keep your marriage alive. Okay? But if you just take it like, slow, the same thing is happening with us in our spiritual life. And God doesn't like it. Okay? So to improve our spiritual life with the God, we should first take care of our family life. Right?
Yes.
So is your fervor, is your flame, for your husband or your wife still alive as it was before, or is it dying? If it is dying, I think we should have the both principles going together. So Jesus is saying that. He said, remember. Another way of remembering, see, whenever we go for a mass, you know, for dead mass, and then we go to the grave, right? How many years also that person is dead and gone? But when you go to that grave, those memories come, the tears flow. So remembrance is very, very important. To understand, what did Christ do? If you don't know what Christ did, no, just stand before the cross. on a regular basis. Look at him and then he will tell you what happens. Remember what he did for us. He is on that cross because of us. Yeah, he is on that cross because of us. Are we being loyal to him as he was loyal to us? Or have we lost? So if we are losing our flame for the Lord, he is the best place to look at. Yeah, or the Blessed Sacrament. Go there and see what he has done for us. You know, so he says, remember. Jesus is telling us now, remember then.
Remember then what you have received and heard. Obey it and repent. If you do not wake up, I will come like a thief and you will not.
Wait. Now see, remember he said, then he said what?
What you have received and heard. Obey.
What you have received and heard. Heard is what? How you can continue to hear what you received. The word of God. The word of God. Continue to read the word of God. Continue to obey the commandments that he has given you. Yeah? So you remember what he has done. You continue to hear his word. You continue to obey his commands. And then what he says?
And repent.
Repent. You see, if you think you can attain salvation without repentance, just forget it. If you don't have this word repentance in your dictionary, that dictionary is useless. Yeah. What is repentance? We have read it in the past. So what is repentance? To repent, first of all, what you should do to repent?
Realize
that you are doing wrong. Realize that you are stranded. Guilt feeling, yeah, that comes with that. The Holy Spirit will make you guilty, right? Because sin destroys. Sin destroys, right? Now, this church in Sardis, they were so content with everything that they had. So, they, when you are content with everything that you have, then you lose your morality. You tend to go in for things that are not right, you know. Sin enters you. Sin encroaches you. Right, and sin makes you dull. Sin makes you numb. Sin makes you guilty. No, whatever is against the Lord comes through sin. That's why God says, well, you got to listen to me. You got to read my word. You got to obey my commandments. Okay, and you got to repent. Repent is, you know, understanding where you are. If you think you are good, that means repentance will never come to you. However good, can you ever be good that you don't require repentance? Even the saints, if you look at their lives, you know, they used to repent on a daily basis. Now, Mother Teresa, we already discussed that before. Mother Teresa used to go for confession every day. The priest was fed up. And what was her confession? Father, I'm sorry, I could not do more than this today. She used to think, after a hard day's work, she used to think and she used to believe that she could have done better. And every day she used to go for confession, say, Father, I could not do more than what I could do today, and that's why I'm confessing. I could have done better. So see that. So what? Where is our simplicity? What simplicity can you have more than this? What was her life? 2 hours in the morning she used to spend in the chapel before the Blessed Sacrament. In those 2 hours, you could not meet her at all. Come what may, even the king comes, he will not meet you in those 2 hours. But after that, the next 22 hours are for the world. So we should look and gain from these saints, especially Mother Teresa, our saint. She goes to the Lord. She spends her time to Lord. She gains that grace that keeps her going for 22 hours. Yeah? Well, how much time are we spending before the Lord? And then we say nothing's happening in us. You know, we are tempted. We are doing this, we are doing that. How will we not be tempted when we are not sucking the grace in the Lord? God's grace is available. It's like a flow. Unless we put our cup in under the tap, it will not fill. But when we put that cup under the tap, the God's flow is not limited. It will flow so much that it will overflow from you. So you see, sometimes, and Mother Teresa was one of them. I met one boy who was like that. Sometimes when you meet a person, you don't even need him to preach. You suddenly find your heart stirring. You suddenly find that, you know, your spirit moves with his spirit. You know, that is what is to happen. That will what will happen if we are continuously in the grace of God. Continuously in the grace of God. Then the question of what we are discussing about in the morning, hatred, unforgiveness, nothing can come. You know, because all that grace, when it flows into our hearts, all those things move out. So there's no place for that. The grace of God moves in, and we are saying, and that is called repentance. That is called repentance. Moving away. At the moment, we are not moving into God's grace, right? We are taking a little bit of it. But repentance means, from today or tomorrow onwards, Lord, we are going to spend, we don't have to spend 2 hours because hers was a full-time profession. We are not full-time this thing, but whatever you can. God said, at least spend 1 hour with me. 1 hour in the morning, before you go to work, if possible. Right? You know, stand before the Holy Spirit, or if you cannot come to church, stand in your own this thing. Ask the Lord, pour out your this thing to me. Simple, no need of big litany. So speak to the Lord. Lord, I want to repent. I want to understand myself. I know that I'm weak. I know that without your strength, I cannot do. I have a whole day to move. Right? I don't know what is going to happen to me in my workplace today. I don't know how I'm going to attack. But Lord, with your grace, you are taking something to survive that whole 8 hours or 9 hours or 10 hours that we are going to spend in our workplaces. So then what happens? When you have the grace of God with you, anything that happens untoward, which normally you would react with your anger or something like that, you have that grace will suppress you. You will not even know. You'll say, my God, I'm such an angry person, but why did I keep quiet? Because you had the grace of God. That grace of God works. And I'm just giving you an example, just like anger for example, but there could be so many other things that would have come to your way. But that grace of God is making a path for you on a daily basis to see. Yeah? And that is repentance. Now, non-repentance is because most of us are not used to that, you know, praying so much and then going. But God wants us to be that. God wants us to, he says, repent. Repent is what? Turn away from your ways that are not good and come back to me. And then what happens?
If you do not wake up, I will come like a thief, and you will not know at what hour I will come.
Now, every time you say, oh my God, Jesus is love. Jesus is mercy. He is. Now, who is this word speaking of? Who is speaking these words? If you do not repent, I will come like a thief. Same Jesus. Same Jesus is giving us a warning. So don't ever take, in other words, don't ever take my love for granted. I will come. I will give you a chance. But until, if you are not willing to change, if you are not willing to repent, then don't blame me. I'm giving you warnings. You know, many a times we think, everything is for somebody else, not for us. We act like an ostrich. We put our head into the sand and think that nothing is happening. But Jesus, we should always look at the wrath of the Lord. You know, because the wrath of the Lord is holy. It is better to be under the wrath of the Lord, which is holy, than under the the disguise of the devil. The devil talks to you in a very nice way. It's more, sin attracts you in a very subtle way. It shows you just glimpses of something very, very attractive, which is just a falsehood. But the wrath of God, that's why he says, be still and know that I am God. We take God for granted. We take, so Sultan Qaboos just walks in, we'll all be standing. Until he tells us to sit, we will not be sitting now. But here, the Lord is here. But we are taking for granted. How do we know that the Lord is here? Is the Lord here, first of all?
Amen. Yes.
No, is the Lord here?
Yes.
There are two of you gathered in my name, I am there.
Okay, anything else?
The word of God.
Yeah. The sister just said, two or three gathered in my name. Correct, no?
Yes. Holy Spirit who speaks. What is the temple of the Holy Spirit?
You know, when I learned the hard way, I realized how important this sentence was. When two or three are gathered in my name, in their midst I am.
Amen.
Yeah. Is that word just a word or is it fact?
It is a fact.
It is a fact. That means what? Is Jesus here or not?
Yes, definitely.
But have you ever
said his name?
Have we said, hello Jesus, how are we here today? No, I'm telling you, honestly. He's sitting here. He's sitting here, but we take him for granted. But we only understand that he's sitting here. How we would be. I think we would not even have tea. No, but he allows to have tea. Doesn't matter. Because he prepares breakfast as well. He has prepared breakfast for us. So that's no problem. But see, what I'm trying to say is that awareness. If you are not aware, like, you know, if we are not aware, we are blind. Now, he had built a citadel on the top. He thought, like, you know, everything is, but he was not aware that, see, the people down are plotting against him. And that's what Jesus said. He said, what? Wake up. Right? Have you come to that?
Yeah. If you do not wake up, I will come like a thief, and you will not know at what hour I will come.
So what he says, wake up. We are a sleeping generation. Sardis was sleeping. And what happened? They were conquered. So we have to wake up. Now, what is waking up?
Doing right, realizing the faults of in us.
Obedience. The
wake up is, you know, like you shared your
testimony,
like that, you know, now you know.
Yes.
So you should not go back.
Yes.
He says, it has happened with everybody.
Yes.
But, you know, if it has happened very lightly and, you know, we said, okay, thank you God, you have helped me and all that, after we forget.
Yes.
Then it is not of no use.
Exactly. So always be on the way, watch out. You know, wake up and then what else it says?
Yet you have still a few persons in Sardis who have not soiled their clothes. They will walk with me dressed in white, for they are worthy.
Yeah. 1 minute. When we talk about waking up, like, what do you think? Each one will have a different area to be alert, to be woken up. Remember, the devil will always come in sweet talk. How did he tempt Eve? Nice apple, he says. You know, did God really tell you to not eat it? Same question tells us. No, nice thing. Whatever your weaknesses are, he'll attack you on your weakness. He will attack you on your weakness. Your weakness is not my weaknesses. My weakness is not your weakness will be my strength. My strength will be or my weakness will be your strength. So each one is struggling with an area that is unique to that person. And the devil will attack you on that, your weakness, till you die. Till you die, he'll attack you on that weakness. That is where you can never take the devil for granted. You have to be watchful, right? Till you die. Because even in that parable, yesterday it came, that the rich king, he goes out and then he gives the he gives the charge to those people, and he said, oh, my master is gone, I will hit this one, I will do this and I will enjoy. But then he said, you don't know what time the master will come back, right? He will come back. So similarly, now see, we are talking about this Azila's brother, young boy who just died yesterday. Did he realize day before yesterday that he would be dying yesterday? Came as a thief for him. That was his day. Whether he was prepared, praise God for it. If he's not prepared, what happens? So the same thing. God is not a partial God. Marcus, you know when you'll die? No? I also don't know when I'm going to die. That is one single God will never tell you. Yeah? You know? So that is the thing. We don't know. Tomorrow we'll just go out and we'll listen. Or we'll live 102 years. We don't know. That's God's prerogative and God's mercy. But we should be alert. We should be ready. Now see, for example, another thing. We are always, we hate each other for certain things. There is a person who has got certain habits of, you know, irritating you. If you are being irritated by such person, what does watch mean to you? Suppose I'm irritated by a person. How will I be watchful? When that person comes, I have to be alert, no? See, whatever that person says, Lord, I am going to keep quiet. Right? I am not going to retaliate. Because I know that person is going to say something. He's going to irritate me and I cannot dodge his part. Okay? So that is called watchfulness. So that means you are alert. You are just saying, suppose you are allergic to rasgullas, you know? There's a nice sweets which energy is harmful for you. You don't go to a sweet shop and say, like, no, Lord, give me... Watchful is what? Don't go to the sweet shop. You know, be alert. You know, if you know that nice rasgulla smell is coming, go to another route. For a people who is addicted to or likes to a drink or smell, no? The smell of a bar, that's it. What is your watchfulness for that person? He'll go, that's it. Go outside. So you don't give that reason. That is called watchfulness in our thing. So each one will have their own areas to be watchful of. Okay?
Yet you have still a few people in Sardis who have not soiled their clothes. they will walk with me dressed in white, for they are worthy.
Now see, Jesus is so good that suppose you say, no, a lot of us we say today is like everybody is doing it, you know, so I have to do it. Otherwise, I will be put out. And which will be a fact also. In certain places, that you will not be allowed because you are not a part of it. You say, okay, stand out. But remember that one thing. If you stand out, when everybody will be condemned, God will lift you up. That is the grace of God. In a mighty ocean of people, the few people of God, Jesus can understand. Can he understand? And then he is giving them the blessings. What is he saying?
If you conquer, you will be clothed like them in white robes, and I will not blot your name out of the book of life.
Now see, this was actually really interesting for me when I heard this. First of all, God will put you white garments. Now white is always a sign of victory. White is always a sign of purity. White is always a sign that, you know, you are spotless. So God wants us, even in this world today, you know, God wants us to be spotless. And you can be. You know, I have seen both sides of the coin. When I was in sin, when I used to linger in sin, I would wear clean clothes, but still inside you are dead. Inside you are dead. It's like Sardis to us. When you are in sin, your life becomes Sardis. Okay? But in the same token, when you understand about the problem of sin and you take victory over sin, you may wear sort of rags, I'm talking outside, but you are alive inside. You're alive inside. I would rather be alive that way than be wearing the best of clothes and be a dead man. You know, so God said, He said I will put this white garments upon you, which is a sign of holiness and purity. And he said, I will not wipe your name off the book of life. Yeah, I will not wipe your name off the book of life. Now in this, what I believe and I see that God has put all our names on the book of life. God has put all our names, this is my belief, on the book of life. That means God, he says in one word, was, I do not want a single person to be lost. But then when we refuse that book of life, then he has to take the rubber and erase it. We are telling him, Lord, erase it. Erase our name. But by not following him. You know, so everybody is destined for a life with Lord. But then we are telling him by our behavior, sorry Lord, we don't want, we are comfortable. And then with reluctance, Jesus says, I will have to block your name out from the book of life. What a sad thing to do, right? He says what?
I will confess your name before my Father and before the angels. Let anyone who has an ear listen to what the Spirit is saying to the churches.
This is the next thing. He says, because when you're alive, you know, when you're alive, you will make others also alive. What is the best example of a person being very alive? Can you tell? In the Old Testament, you know, in Jesus' time, a person who was very much alive, sinner. Jesus just spoke to that person, and that person became so alive that she brought a whole.
Samaritan.
I said she. The Samaritan woman. What was her life? Completely Sardis, full of dirt, full of. She used to come only in the afternoon because people used to accuse her. One word from the Lord. Repentance. One word from the Lord changed her. And she ran out. A person who has witnessed Jesus in their lives can never stay quiet. They will always do this thing. They will always advertise. Because I'm saved. I want you to come. See what Jesus has done to me. And the same thing, the same spirit is alive. Should be alive in us. Okay. So, and when, what Jesus says, if you confess my name to the people, if you do, I will confess your name to my Father. Yeah. Now, Jesus' last coming. Yeah. Is it a threat to us or what? How do you feel Jesus' last coming? What is it like? No.
Yeah,
how do you feel?
Yeah, it is a threat to us if you are not prepared, because he said he will divide these two.
Yeah.
If you are prepared, we are happy. It's not a threat at all.
In fact, I would say, you know, I think it is time now we should get into more prayers.
Yes.
In the Bible also it says, by prayer only you can. By prayer and fasting you
yeah.
can defeat.
Yes.
So all our weaknesses.
Yes.
And once we start, let's say somebody starts doing prayer 1 hour in the morning, if he increases, you know, another half an hour, 2 hours, his love towards,
yes,
you know, the God also increases with
yes.
that. Then you will not fall into this. Is how we have to prepare purification.
Yeah. Yes. Now see, how do we fall into bad habits? Like, take an example. We are involved with certain sin. Okay. remember also that. How did you fall into that sin? And today that sin is taking so much of time of you, control of you. But it didn't happen overnight. You indulge, you indulge, you indulge. You know, it became a practice. And now it is becoming a difficulty to go off. The same thing is with the Lord. First time you'll feel, even now, those of us who are not yet tuned with the Lord, first time you'll feel very difficult. You'll feel sleepy, you'll feel yawning, you'll feel sleep, yawn, do anything. But be before the Lord. Don't say anything. Then slowly, because God is good. God is always good. He will put that 1 ounce into you. You know, that tomorrow is a chalo yet. And like, you know, you are doing this out of frustration, huh? But yet you are doing it. Good. Tomorrow, next day, you see, you put 2 ounces in you of love. The third day. And by the time 1 week is over, you will see that, you know, you will not miss that time. 5 minutes maybe per time. It will never happen to 1 hour immediately. 5 minutes. Next day, you say, you'll see 7 minutes. Next day, you see, there was a true story of a boy who was very bad, young boy. And the mother took him to the father, to priest. And the priest told him to read the Bible. Okay? And he said, I wanted to read the Bible 5 minutes every day. And he said, keep the alarm. Okay? 5 minutes, keep the alarm and read. This guy's like, because scared, no? He kept the alarm and used to read the Bible. 5 minutes, you know, waiting for that alarm to ring. So it happened like that. So next week, what happened? He kept the alarm. The alarm rang. And he did not bother. He just did this thing and he started reading more. After some time, he stopped keeping the alarm. And then he got addicted to the Bible. You know, you got to make it a habit. Your addiction is a disease. And once you're addicted to God, what else you want?
Actually, with my experience,
yeah.
I used to get up early morning, 4 o'clock. I'm talking about 7 years, 8 years back when I was very... Then, you know, I used to get up. And I used to, as soon as alarm, I'll go and, you know, do my this thing. Then slowly what happened, you know, some temptation. So let me sleep. Then, you know, let me have a cup of tea and, you know, this is all getting delayed. But when I was with the Lord at that morning, 4 o'clock, the thrust, I could feel that when I'm driving, He's there next to me.
Yes.
And, you know, I'm thinking that I have to call this person. Suddenly I get a call from that same person to me.
Yes, so yes, much very of, right. Yeah.
Even I wanted to meet somebody, you know, suddenly I see that person in front of me.
Yes.
So close.
True.
So which I want to go back now.
Yeah.
Because I've moved away from that. Now I know I want to go.
Yeah. Correct what you said. That is the favor of the Lord. You know,
alive.
Before, last time I think we said, before, no, when we used to pray to the Lord, we used to take time to answer. But now you see, sometimes, like recently it happened to me, I had a desire, but I never prayed. And suddenly He brings it, like our brother said, I thought about a person, that person rings me up. You know, absolutely right. Absolutely right.
One more I just want to share. Once I went, I used to fumble. You know, reading and all that. So I was given a reading. So when I went, you know, I don't know how I read, what I read, I don't know. When I came back, people said, oh, very good reading. Then I was wondering what I read, I myself don't know. So somebody else was, you know,
yes,
reading on my
reading page. On your behalf. That is, exactly.
So I have witnessed all that, but you know, again, I have slipped.
Yeah.
So I want to come back. Yeah. That is what is.
So now what you should do actually, WATCH. You have to watch because you know your areas now.
Yes, yes.
T, no. This, no. You know, that is the area you got to watch. A nice example. No? Because he knows what he has done before and now he is remembering. See, the Lord made him remember what he was before, what he experienced today, and now the Lord has convicted him that. So now he has to watch. He has to watch and he is repenting and he's coming back. His desire is to come back to the Lord. Yeah, the same way we have in our
circle. Everybody will have similar.
Similar
see,
thing.
Like, for example, in my life, the day we go to church, that day we would not have a prayer at home. So we went to church and came. So it's like that now, whether you go for mass, 1 or 2 masses, you go for a prayer meeting, intercession. If I don't have my personal prayer, that is something is lacking. No, I have not done this. I have not done that. So that is the change.
Yes, exactly.
Yeah. Well, you have gone for mass enough. Now, why don't
you
pray again?
Yeah, that's true. And the more you go, the more you receive, right? That is always the case, whether it's good or bad or whatever it is. The more you indulge. So similarly, the more you go to the Lord, the more you get back, right?
Yeah, that is where I realized. Initially, I used to go, the who has will be given more, who has less will be taken away.
Yeah.
How unjust God, I was thinking, you know.
Even I was thinking the same.
Be
yes.
Like that? Who has less will be taken away. Why God should do like that?
Yeah.
So then,
now you understand
I came
why.
To realize.
Yeah.
That time I said, no, this is something wrong. This is not in, it should not be in the Bible. I used to think, how can it be? Who has less should be taken away.
Yes. So you saw how God showed you. Now, if you, when you have a less time to pray, you are just praying for the sake of praying. You see, that interest also goes. But when you make your attempt, when you are going closer and closer to the Lord, God, Lord blesses us. Lord blesses us, you know. So what shall we take home tonight?
Lord.
Hope and salvation.
Yeah, see, you know, these Bible reflections of us will be effective. When tomorrow, next week, when we come, you know, I did this and the Lord worked in me. You know, that should be the way. Then these studies become, or this reflection become very alive. Because we got to just do not be just hearers of the word, God says. Be doers of the word. Mm-hmm. And when you be the doers of the word, and however silly it may seem, for you it may be very silly. Okay, you know, I smile to one person. It's a big thing. It, for many it will be a small thing, but I smile to one person. For you, because, you know, maybe that is the start of your very big journey. We don't know that one smile of yours, what it has done to that person. It must have changed that person's perspective a lot. That person will be going through something difficult time, but that one smile could have changed. You don't know how the Lord will be blessing you. Be ready for one smile. Don't go for miracles. Miracles will always take place in the small things, okay? Sometimes we just go to the sea and get a fish and we find a coin. Don't go to that extent. Go in your own vicinity, find out something and do our best. A small smile will do something good. Right? So what shall we come with testimony next Friday? I'll leave it up to you. Okay. And still look out for that Jezebel spirit, huh? Because that is watching. We are watching out for a Jezebel spirit. I found three in me, so I'm keeping in watch now. You know that spirit, because that Jezebel spirit is such a spirit that you think, "Chalo, it's nothing. This is a normal." But no, it's a Jezebel spirit. Suppose example, sugar is not good for you, right? Just example, because now many people have sugar, and if you deliberately go and have sugar, that's a Jezebel spirit in you. It's making you to harm your body. Yeah, you are. In other words, people who are diabetic. I don't believe in the words diabetic, but people who are suffering from sugar should be careful of sugar. Otherwise, it's like committing suicide. No, will you be able to commit suicide? Will you drink poison? So these are small things, because the body is a temple of the Holy Spirit, and I am not supposed to be abusing it.
Yes.
Right. So these are the small things, and God sees your faithfulness. If you are faithful in small things, He'll give you big things to decide. Right. So with this, we end the Church of Sardis. I personally feel that we have a Church of Sardis in each one of us. We are, some of us are so looking bright outside, but we are very dead inside. And it is up to us, you know, to make us alive, to make us alive. I feel so much of deadness in me, and I know that areas I could have been alive, but still I'm dead. I'm going to look into my life myself, see where I can come up. And then only there is meaning, I feel, honestly. And see, now we are so scared of so many things happening around the world, right? So like the other day, somebody was saying, even Potter was drowned. Like, there's something wrong with Potter. How can I say that? Because there was a case when a blind man, no, or was healed, and they said, and Jesus asked him, well, why was he blind? Was it the sin of his parents? And he said, no, not sin of his parents, but it was to give glory to God. No, so we cannot say that things happen because of, now see, Portaison, I was reading that the message that come. Portaison had a vision to go international. I mean, to make that center an international center. With all this that are happening, they would never have a chance to do so. But now they are building it, rebuilding it up in such a way that keeping that in mind. So you see, God has got wonderful ways, beautiful ways. They have got a loss of about 50 crores. 50 crores a loss. But that is nothing for the Lord. He will dump in another 100 crores. You know, so never look at what is happening around you. That should happen. But the glory of God in that, how He has helped us. You know, it's really amazing. It's really amazing. If you see the videos, everything is gone. Bibles. They'll say will think 37,000 or 80, something. 87, no? 87. Bibles have been washed away. They'll say your Bibles are powerless because they've been washed away. People will think in that area. But what with the Lord, you know?
You know, one testimony came out of the all retreat centers, halls. The first hall is Hindi hall. You know, you can't do English. As water started rising, they removed the body of Christ from all the tabernacles. But they couldn't go to the first tabernacle.
Uh-huh.
Okay? And when the water receded, okay, not a single water touched the body of Christ.
Oh, is it?
It was completely dry.
Praise God. See that. See that. So we should be taken out. I like what my sister Maria Sangeeta, she's the one saying. She was giving us a daily, very, very powerful. She's saying, in all these things, you know, we are looking at the Lord, because we know that the Lord will not desert us, will not missing us. You know, because, just imagine, because how many of you were in Gono here, Gono time? Yeah. So I remember that time, you know, what we went through. Although my heart place is not much damaged, but I know. And we have experienced that. So you can imagine, 7 days and seven nights of no continuous rain, what must have happened? Really, really, God is so good. You know, so it happened to Porta tomorrow, today, yesterday, it can happen today to us at any time. So we are not immune. But what did Porta do is what we should listen to understand. In spite of that, and what Maria said, you know, that she's saying, I also was depressed, like, you know, about this thing. But she's saying, today I'm rejoicing. Because she's like, I've seen so many people from different walks of life come. We don't even know them. They're cleaning the place. And in this, we have seen the camaraderie, you know, the solidarity, you know, the union, which we don't even know. And she said, this is giving me rejoicing. So you see, how the Lord works in mysterious ways, we don't know. So never question why the Lord has done for me. I'm so good, yet the Lord has done for me. No. You know, that is a purpose. If you know that, okay, something has happened to you, you should rejoice because something greater is going to happen to you.
Amen.
Something greater is going to happen to you. And that is the faith we have with the Lord. No? Will our Lord ever leave us? And the question is, why will He leave us? When we were sinners, He died. So why should He leave us now?
Amen.
That is the only thing. Like, Lord, come what may, fight with the Lord. You are not going to leave us. Whatever the problem may be, we are there. We are alive in front of You. And He will keep His word. He will keep His word. That faith will never disappear. Whenever Jesus created a miracle, what did He say? He didn't say, I created a miracle. Your faith, He said. Your faith. Give me one word where He said, like, oh, because I put my hands on you, you are saying, your faith has revealed you. Okay? So with this thing in mind, we know that our God is not going to leave us, and let us be stronger and stronger with Him, and let us ponder over this Sardis. Let us not be sleepy, but let us be watchful. Okay? And Syriac is going to start today, going back to the Lord in full swing. So are we, okay? Thank You, Lord, for revealing to us another aspect of the Church of Sardis, Lord. A very dominant church, a very rich church, but yet very poor. Dead church, that's what You call it, Lord. Lord, I know that a few of us, if not all, will have the same title of dead in us, Lord, including me, Lord. But Lord, as You have told us, warned the church in Sardis, we take Your warnings seriously, Lord. We promise to You, Lord, that we will wake up. We will wake up, Lord. We have been in slumber too long. We will wake up in our own areas that we need to be woken up, Lord. We will read Your word, Lord, more diligently. We will obey what Your word says, Lord. We will be doers of Your word, Lord God.
Amen.
And Lord, then, Lord, whenever You come, Lord, like a thief, will not affect us, because we will desire the day when You come and we will be with You in eternity, Lord. Lord, we also take this opportunity of praying for those people who are not aware of this, Lord. Their lives are just as the same, Lord God, until death will suddenly strike them, Lord, and then they will not know what to do. Lord, as believers of You, we pray for all those people who are living in darkness, Lord, who do not know You, Lord God, who will be suddenly mesmerized, Lord, when You come in the form of any way, in calamities or in any sort, Lord God. Lord, give us the grace, at least to give a smile to somebody, Lord God, who is in need, Lord God, because we do not know, Lord, that one smile, You can touch the hearts of the people, Lord God.
Yeah.
Give us one word, Lord God, to say, Jesus is Lord, O Lord God, to anyone, O Lord God, who needs to hear that word, Lord. It's not our words, it's not our actions, Lord God, but it is You, O Holy Spirit, who uses us to touch the lives of people, O God. We can do nothing on our own, Lord, but with You, O Holy Spirit, we are more than conquerors, Lord God. And Lord, as we leave this place, Lord, as we have already had our hospital visit this morning, we pray for Your presence to be with us, Lord. You never accuse anyone, Lord God, but in love, Lord God, You awaken us, Lord.
Amen.
You show us, Lord, beautifully, Lord God, that where we go wrong, where is our soft weaknesses. And you, Lord, you say with your wide arms wide open, come to me, for I will give you rest. Come to me, all those who labor and are overburdened. Sin is an overburden. Sin is laborious. So let us go to Jesus, as he invites us in Matthew 11:28. Come to me, all those who labor and are burdened, I will give you rest. Let us go to Jesus to take that rest, which only he can give. And in his fullness, even if we are dead, we'll be alive. Because what is the use of being living corpses? Let us be humble, yet alive, so that Jesus can be seen in each one of us, so that we'll be more vibrant, so that we may thank God for his love, for his mercy, and we may not take for granted God's goodness. Thank you, Mama Mary, for always being with us, guiding us, blessing us. And just like you are faithful, Mama Mary, even when the angels spoke to you, you said, may it be done to me according to thy will. Lord, Mama Mary, make these our words as well, that we live as God wants to live, and may it be done to us according to God's will. In Jesus' name we pray.
Amen. 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 Amen.
In the Father, Son, Jesus is Lord.
Now and forever.
Jesus is Lord. Yes, Jesus, you are the Lord who wakes your people. You are the Lord who turns the sleepy into vibrant people, O God, as we children of God agree and say,
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Yeah.
Thank you, God. Jesus. Thank you. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah. It should be some tea.
Yeah, please help yourself. Next Friday, is it first Friday? No, no?
No.
So we will have another session. Thank you, dear brothers and sisters.
Will I have this tea? I put something.
Yeah, yeah. Same. So, if I send
it to your uncle tomorrow morning, that's okay.
Yeah, tomorrow morning, fine.
One more
tea, you know? Yes, she's doing
it. To put you to sleep. First was to keep you awake.
Thank you. Take care. What is that?
That was some smaller. Look at that. 15.6.
Yeah, thank you.
It's big.
Ah, display. Okay.
I won't carry anymore. No, more. It's 13 point something.
Yeah, I think the configuration is good.
So I want to go for that.
Okay. The best thing is to have your time.